On the young ones already to pay attention and be quiet. A time to listen and learn. Our text is taken from the book of Romans chapter 9 and verse number 1 through 5. It is an awe-inspiring text, an awful text with regards to the wrath of God. And the Apostle Paul's attitude. I'd like to read verse number 1 through 5 of Romans 9, introduce our subject, and then we'll go back to the beginning and get our message. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 9:1, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience is testifying to me in the Holy Spirit that I have an intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could wish to be cursed and cut off from Christ for the benefit of my brothers, my own flesh and blood, my own kinsmen. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. The ancestors are theirs, and from them by physical descent came Christ, who is God over all, blessed or praised forever. Amen. Our Father, as we pray unto you, and you don't mind us approaching you now, we ask you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit, for a heart that yearns and for unction, for prayer and for pleading to be in our voice as the text is opened by the power of your Spirit. May you give us what we do not have, a knowledge of Jesus Christ. May you revive our souls by your Spirit. May you give us the conquering power of your gospel and of your word. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, spare people from hell. Cause them and their children to be hearers of this blessed word, and to be doers of the gospel that is preached. We ask you this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This particular text and this particular subject, I was just reading a sermon by Brother Charles Spurgeon on this text. And I will not come close to any of that pathos, love, understanding, or discernment. But he was talking about the awfulness of the wrath of God. And as you see in this text, the Israelites of the Jews had every advantage. And he was comparing it to England in his day, where they had the Bible preached, they had free access, they had missionaries and preachers and sermons, and people were still not saved. And here, in the greater context, I believe that most people, just like in my own country, have never heard the gospel in their life. They've heard of a man named Jesus, but they haven't heard the sovereign God of the Bible. I was talking to a person, and I had posted something about God causing us pain, and they questioned me. And I get so angry at this weak, effeminate God that doesn't cause pain and puts it all on the devil. Was it not God who told Job, told Satan, have you not considered Job? Was it not God who got the whole bargain started? You go test him, you take his children, you take his health, you can take everything that he has, you can kill his family, but just spare his life as a test. And offered no apology for doing it. I hate the God who doesn't cause any pain. Because who's causing me my pain? That's who I should be worshiping. No, the God of the Bible chastises those he loves. And if you be without chastisement, you're a bastard. Every child he has, he puts us over his knee. He causes pain on purpose, and he isn't scared. Our Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I don't picture him blinking in any man's face or being afraid of anybody. But the God of the Bible gives us here in this building these blessed privileges. Me and you have the true gospel privilege. It says that Israel of old had the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law. It was Moses came down from Sinai after speaking with God and his face shined with glory. They had of the service of the temple, they had the promises that had been given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. And the ancestors of theirs, all the prophets, and look at this, from them, by physical descent, came the Christ, who is God over all. The Almighty God was a Jew, came into their midst, walked in their dirty streets, and they killed him. And Paul's response unto this is what we really want to get at this evening, and the warning and the plea that's in our text. It says elsewhere that he desired them to be saved. Let's take a look at chapter 9, verse number 1. Let's see what God has to say to us. Let's take heed unto this warning. And let's have something of the spirit of the Apostle Paul. I understand it cannot be worked up. It has to come by the Holy Spirit. But Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ. Now, here's a man, the Apostle Paul, who never had to say, I really mean this, as he was preaching or as he penned scripture. If there was any man that me and you should take at his word, it would be Paul. He's not a liar. But the thing he's saying is so incredible, so unbelievable, that he emphasizes it four times, on top of just saying it, which would be five, to assure us he's not playing around and he means business. The Apostle Paul had a special heart. And you and I can get this heart only by the gospel coming to us in power. The Apostle Paul, like me and you, is a man who took very seriously the love of God in Jesus Christ. He was persuaded that not death or life or angels or rulers or things present or things to come or hostile powers or height or depth or any other created thing had the power to separate him and us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the conscious knowledge of that fact made him say, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. I'm not joking. I'm not playing a game. I am not pretending. And what he's going to go on to say is my conscience testifying to me with the Holy Spirit that I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. I could wish to be cursed and sent to hell from Jesus Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not playing games or pretending. I'm not affecting. It isn't an act. It isn't a show. It isn't pretense. It isn't just preaching. The old story goes, I may have told this here, of the young girl who was at a prayer meeting in West Texas. It hadn't rained in months. The crops were dying and the people were starving. And they went to the prayer meeting and only one person brought an umbrella. This little girl. And she got home as to one day after the preacher had got done preaching, and she asked her dad, she said, Daddy, is the preacher, is he serious? Is he telling the truth, or is he only preaching? There's a lot of that, isn't there? That's when I pray to God, I try to pray to him. There is no entertainment value. Because we want to bring every heart to him, but we're in the presence of God. And we're not talking to men when we're praying to God. Now we're talking unto each other, but in prayer. Let us tremble before him. Let's reverence him. I am aware that the Catholic Church has no God. Oh, they have all the statues, all the priests, all of the Latin, all of the robes, all of the holy water, all of the funny hats, all of the important people to make up for no God in their assembly. And what do? We yell and shout and try to get happy. That we need God, not a joke. And Paul is saying, I ain't playing. I am not pretending. I love people. I ain't just up here preaching. I'm not trying to stir up the crowd. It's the black church in America is known for orators, and the crowd, amen, amen. And he ain't saying nothing that will save their everlasting soul. And it's breaks my heart, and Paul said he'd go to hell for them. I got a long way to go. I get it in fits. I would wish myself a curse. He said it was continual. This is a man. This is what I want to be when I grow up. I do not care less about oratorical power. Let me just speak God's word with care and concern. Do we care about a soul of a sinner? so many people in America, all they care about is themselves, and they got the gospel. I've taught it to them. I've heard them preach it back unto me, but they do not preach it to anybody else ever. Except maybe their children. And the best way to care for your children is to care for other people's soul. Or you're just a fraud. The only people I'm talking to about Christ and praying for is my kids, and my neighbors can perish and I don't care. They know I don't mean it. It means nothing to me. I'm a liar. Paul was not fraudulent. I really want that. And it's only the Holy Spirit. And it's the comprehension of love. You see how up in Romans 8, you heard about it last night, this great love of Christ, and how happy you were. Me too. I went home so glad. I woke up happy. But the love of God, as it assures our soul, makes us love men, or we ain't got it. If I say I've been revived and I don't love his church, I've been talking to people online that claim to have the truth and know they've only gotten out of the frying pan of Pentecostalism into another brand of false religion. Because they don't ever preach the gospel. All they do is point out how bad other stuff is. Oh, I don't pay a tithe. Who cares? Whether you pay it or not. But they've come up, sister, with an idea of a virtual church. Meaning all they do is meet online and talk about everybody else. And it's an abomination. How dare we claim to be Christians and followers of this book and use this to excuse not meeting together? That's a lie. That's using water to claim that there is no wetness. Who could come up with such things as you read 1 Timothy and not want to meet together? How can you read Paul and say, let's not meet except online and exchange messages? Because we have no accountability to each other. And we don't care about anybody else while we think that we know God. And brother, I'm telling you, that's Calvinism without Christ. And I'm a Calvinist. I believe the book. If it ain't in here, I don't believe it. And the book, it declares we're spiritually dead. It takes God to save. And did you know that God has mercy on whom he pleases? That he doesn't owe any man salvation. He doesn't owe one sinner anything but hell. People are under the impression that they are owed mercy. Ask the demons if God owes them mercy. Satan was brighter than any of us. He was the chief angel, and he never got a sermon. Not one drop of pity. Not even an offer. No grace was given. He sinned and he rebelled, and he went to hell as his portion. And God will have mercy on whom he pleases. Everyone who comes to Christ will be loved, but he'll draw whom he pleases unto himself. He's God, and I hate an idol. I don't think I really hate people, but I hate a false god. I don't know, it's just something that just burns my bones, Pastor. He disrespects God, and he sends men to hell. And just disrespecting God is enough when he's so glorious. But this love that God has for me and you in Jesus Christ that chose us, brother, that predestined us, that died for our sin, that took away our guilt, that cleansed us, that justifies us, that sits at the right hand of God, that rules every detail that ever existed. That brother pastor has, there's never been a time God didn't love us in Jesus Christ. And there'll never be a time he stops. And hell is something he went through to get us there. I can't explain it, but if it's ever in my heart, I will have a continual heartbreak that other people are perishing. What they call it is cold, dead Calvinism. It's when men have the doctrine in their head and couldn't care about anybody else. I think it's the worst thing out of hell. I'd almost rather perish as a demon than as a dead Calvinist. Intellectualizing the gospel and not preaching Christ to anybody else. But Paul was not a cold, dead Calvinist. This is the same chapter, as we'll learn either out on the street or maybe here, but as you keep going in chapter 9, he's talking about predestination. He's talking about Jacob I loved and Esau I hated before the children were even born. But that didn't make Paul just sit by and say, well, I'm saved. Who cares about everybody else? It didn't make him proud. It broke his heart. It made Paul say, like Isaiah, I'm over here, Lord. Please use me. This is what breaks our heart. The love of God in Jesus Christ. It smashes us. Until he's Sunday. And so I don't want us to try to work it up. I am trying not to work up anything in the pulpit, but just preach what the text says. But the text brings its own emotional power. He says, I am not lying. My conscience is testifying unto me. I'm speaking out of my inside. As we say in the West, I'm speaking this from my guts. I believe this with all of my heart. I am not exaggerating. I'm not adding on to this. I'm not trying to appear pious. And I'm actually talking, he says, in the Holy Spirit. It's not the zeal of man. Sometimes a man can be a humanist and for his friends or for a good person or for a sick baby make all kinds of sacrifices. It was another mass shooting in the USA, and you read about how moms and dads stood in front of the bullets. A man will do that who's unsaved. But this is Paul saying, Lord God, it's what Brother Moses said. If you're not going to spare them, kill me. Let me take their place. This is how we got to pray. This is how we got to live. And he said it was a continual. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the exemplifier of this doctrine. He left heaven's bliss. He didn't need nothing or nobody. He was satisfied in his glory. But he and the Father and the Spirit, they got together and they covenanted and conspired our salvation. And then he left. He who had never felt pain became a baby. He who had spoken the universe into existence was begging for mama's milk. To walk in our streets and to dwell among sinners, that he might die. I don't have other language. I just know that God so loved the world today. He loved us so much. sister, he took our place from hell. He drunk the wrath of God, every drop. And the Father did not spare his son. It was no lightweight sentence. It was no, "Mom, that's okay, Dad, I'll spank him, and then Mom, that's the lightweight." It was the full wrath of God. And he did it willingly. He'd rather go to hell than me and you. And the Apostle Paul says, "I'm included in this game. That I have an intense sorrow." You want to be a preacher, Hashimu? You better get a hold of this. I know I use strong words. I hate all slimy religion. And was Paul happy? He was full of joy and pain. Why do we think our religion is supposed to be all happy? When the Lord Jesus and Brother Jeremiah wept tears. Brother Jeremiah said, I don't want to misquote it. I'll just flip to it real quick. But this is what he said. If my head were a spring of water, my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night over the slain of my dear people. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem that kills the prophets." He wept on his way to the cross and told them, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves." He looked over the city and wept. He shed tears for himself in the garden. Agony was upon his soul and mind of what was about to happen. But he looked at us and cried his eyes out. I want to preach like that, and I want to be in anguish, and it's not just the preacher. I don't even want to come to church and expect to be happy all the time. Sometimes I want to sit there and cry. Not because I'm playing a religion, but I just met 100 people on the way to hell on my walk here. That's what brought me to Nigeria. Tears. It was not a smiley prospect. Tears. I saw my kinsmen after the flesh being slaughtered in false religion. Paul said that his kinsmen, who tried to kill him everywhere he went, and we went through the book of the Acts, as we saw, it was always the Jews. And the Gentiles would receive him, but these Jews would come and turn them until they stoned him and left him for dead. It was the Jews that went and told Agrippa, "Hey, you got to keep this man in chains." It was the Jews who tried to lash his back. It was the Jews that had a covenant, "I will not eat until I kill you." The Jews. And he said, "I want to go to hell for them." Brother Spurgeon said, "Love those who hate you most." And I'm still trying to think, is that Bible? I know I'm to love my enemy. I know that much. God help us. Men and women are going to hell. And so how about us here in Nigeria? You who have been rescued from the pit. What about your neighbors? Are you going to leave them behind? We just gonna pass them by. Our children, this is why we want y'all to listen and learn. Your soul. I know I got mine. I know you got one too. And I'm begging you to train them. Don't assume it. They're not going to learn just because you know. Ask Abraham about Esau. That was his boy. Or or Isaac's boy, Abraham and Ishmael, rich but going to hell. Is that what you want? In the U.S., all we care about is if our kids are in a good college while their souls perish. I'm talking about people who know the gospel. There's no mourning. There's no weeping. There's no caring, Pastor. And I'm not making this up. Paul said the Holy Spirit was bearing witness. This is the truth of his conscience. He ain't lying. I can wish myself accursed and cut off from Christ. This intense sorrow, this continual anguish, I don't know much about how to rejoice and cry at the same time, but Paul did. He had no less joy. He isn't, you know, just old sad Paul. No, Paul is saying, rejoice always, but as he thought about his brother in hope, he had to turn his head and weep until he got to rejoicing again. And Brother Spurgeon said that a soul winner is created. It isn't us. There is something in me, Pastor, that makes me preach. I did not want this job. But he created me. And people think I'm crazy. People think I'm out here doing too much. They don't understand I'm miserable if I don't. I'm only happy preaching. That's why you saw me in the street. I don't have a choice. This is how God makes a church. You got no choice. You have to get it in your heart, and you have to tell somebody else. I hope it never leaves us. I hope it grows. I hope this can be said of us, that we got a continual sorrow in our heart that other people would be saved. That we have to give them the gospel. Even if we die. Paul didn't care about life and death. He was willing to go a step further. If it were possible. He says, I could wish myself accursed and cut off from Christ. Now in verse 3, in my translation it says, I could almost. I looked it up in the Greek, and the word almost isn't there, so I scratched it out. I looked it up in the commentaries. I read Brother Spurgeon's sermon. And he said, the men, Pastor, have tried every trick possible to get this out of the Bible. And I'm not talking about heretics. I'm talking about men who believe God because it's too hot to handle. And they've tried everything to say Paul can't be serious, but that's why he said, I tell the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience is bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. To make sure that we understand he would go to hell for sinners. Now it's not possible. I can't redeem anybody. But have you ever felt the tears and the weight of God send me to hell, not them? If you're not going to save them, kill me. God, please. I didn't know where it came from until the gospel came with power. That was my first week here in Nigeria as I curled myself into a ball and cried myself to sleep. It happens on occasion on my balcony as I listen to the false church prophesy. This is something to pray for, something to trust God for. It isn't anything to pretend. I did not plan to come up here with any tears. I plan to come up here with no extra emotion whatsoever, but just the word of God. It does work in our heart. It's reality. And that sermon from Spurgeon, I'm just telling you, if you want to read something, I will send you the link. I can't compare to the agony of his heart. And he said, that's what makes a soul winner. There's something inside of you that cares. All that we care about, and I say we as a society, is our Nyla. I got another contact from a woman. I don't know her name or as to how she got my information. But she's up in Ecclesia. I told her about the church. But I got a funny suspicion all she wants is a job and a man. And I rebuked her. I said, sister, seek not the bread that perishes. That's all they care about. And me and you got the gospel. We got to care about something else. And if the Almighty, if he could do it for Paul, he could do it for me and you. And that's true eloquence. I could wish to be cursed and cut off, could wish to be damned, sent to hell for the benefit of my kinsmen, my brothers, my kinsmen after the flesh, who are the Israelites. The black people in the U.S., as I head back home on my vacation, I want to see them get the gospel. The homosexuals, if there's a homosexual, and I'm sure that there is, that is going to listen unto this message that has been converted, what are you going to do at the gay pride parade? Are you going to say, well, I'm glad I'm not there anymore, or are you going to go and weep? So many people hate sinners, Pastor. All they do is point their finger. If just a few people care, they would feel it and come to Jesus Christ. And who are these Israelites? Now, this last portion is a great warning unto us right here in this building who have heard the gospel and his power again, that these people who had all these privileges were not saved. They are Israelites. They are Nigerians. They are Pentecostals and Baptists and Catholics and Calvinists and people who heard about. These aren't people in the north. These are people here in Lagos in this building right now. Most privileged to hear the truth. I would put anything I've said to an open Bible in front of anybody in the world. But what are you going to do with the privilege? You got a privilege other people don't have. Are you going to be satisfied just hearing, or are you going to come to Jesus Christ? Are you going to tack on a few things, or are you going to repent and be converted? Many will come to our conference to attach Christ on what they're already doing because they still want this world. Who's going to come and give it up? Be born again. I repent of everything. I turn unto you. Not trying to add you unto my life. I bow before your throne. These were Israelites. And among them they had the adoption. brought into the family of God. The glory, the Shekinah glory of God descended on the Ark of the Covenant and on Solomon's temple. They heard God speak from heaven. That happened in John 12, and they kept asking questions instead of trusting him. And the Lord said it was just like Isaiah said, he hardened your hearts. That's scary. That scared me into repentance. I didn't want to get hardened in my sin. Let me come back now before it's... Because Pastor is not in our control. You think I'll come to Christ whenever I want to? True, if you want to, you may come right now. But tomorrow, you might couldn't care less. And you don't have to die to be reprobated. Just left to yourself like Esau. He sold his birthright, and even though he tried with tears, he could never trust God again. He had a chance and he missed it. He left his soul for a bowl of beans. I don't think it's worth it. These people were Israelites, had the glory, had the covenants, had the giving of the law. That whole mountain shaked and trembled. God came down. He was on the face of Moses. Had all the rules and rituals that showed his glory. Had the bloody sacrifices. Had the temple service. All the priesthood. All the gold of the temple. And the blessed promises. And the promises that were made to Abraham are the same promises made to me and you. That the Gentiles might be co-heirs by faith in Jesus Christ. It's all spiritual. It isn't some land in Palestine. They'll never get it back, sister. Their blood is defiled. There are no more Jews like this. He cursed the fig tree, it withered and died. And then he conquered their nation. As what the historians say is after the crucifixion of Christ, when the Romans came after the rejection of the gospel in 70 AD, 1.1 million Jews died. And the rest were scattered until their blood is Gentile. Can't trace their tribe back for all of the tea in China. God got rid of them because they had a shot and they spat in his face. He said, lo, I will surely send my son and they will reverence him. And the Jews said, that's the heir. Let's kill him and all this is ours. And the scripture says that the Pharisees knew he was talking about them. They knew that they were wrong and they murdered. That's challenging God. How about you? What you going to do with the gospel? You going to believe it? Right now. Today is the day. I was reading from Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. And he said about 5 times, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. It's the hardening of your own heart. It's saying, I don't believe it even though it's true. This is just how we do things. What's so hard about these people? They know that they're being lied to. But it's so hard to leave behind what they have. It's like a woman whose husband is treating her like dirt. And she's scared to walk out of the house. And leave him. As they call it in the West, Stockholm Syndrome, until you love your captor. They break your chains free, you say, I'm still here for you. That's what sin is, isn't it? The ancestors over theirs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from them, this is the greatest condemnation of all. Did you know that the blessings of the gospel message are going to torment people? people in hell as they remember I could have trusted him and I didn't. From their bloodline, from their seed, from their physical descent and kindred came Christ. Look what it says. Who is, this is a more accurate translation than the old King James on this verse. Who is God over all. That would be like God being actually manifested as a Nigerian and walking our streets, performing real miracles, walking on water, raising up the dead, healing the blind who had never seen, opening up caskets and people walking out, and me and you not trusting. That would be the worst crime in hell. And what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, to anyone that can hear my voice, for any of us to perish is frightening. But Paul said, I can wish myself a curse for them. So let us have something of this mind state. Let us trust our Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. And let us tell everybody that we can. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Our Father, as we pray unto you in our weakness, our insufficiency, you do give people a love for you and for other people that's founded by the gospel. Help us to feel it. Help us to know your sufficiency in our lives. And let us, Father, have some of this love for somebody else that the Apostle Paul had. And may everyone here, Father, be warned by the power of your Spirit. And may you draw sinners, may you draw souls, and sweep them into the kingdom for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.